Welcome, everyone, to this week's episode of the Standout Job Seeker podcast presented by JobScan. I'm your host, Sydney Myers, and I will be joined shortly by Tracy Saunders from BossMakeHer.com. We're going to talk about a really great topic, and Tracy explained it so well. So we're going to talk about how to not settle in your job search. And when I first thought about this idea of not settling, I kind of thought of this like really kind of emotional cheerleader sort of speech, like, you got this. But really, there are so many practical things that you can do to know if you're settling and then to make sure that you don't settle. So if you're at this point in your career where you want to break into leadership, or you are in a leadership role, and then you want to go into like senior leadership and take that next step in your career, but you're like unsure of what are you qualified for, or maybe you're not getting the roles that you think you deserve, this interview is great. So we go into how to determine what you're qualified for, how to know what that baseline is, and then how to not settle. Tracy, this was a great interview. I know you're going to enjoy it. If you do, give the podcast a rating or a thumbs up if you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Make sure you follow us on social media so you don't miss a future episode. And also connect with Tracy Saunders on LinkedIn, because she had a lot of insights here. Let's get into this interview. Well, Tracy, thanks for joining the podcast to talk about this topic of how to not settle in your job search. I think this is super relevant, because I know the job search is really challenging right now because of so many factors: competition, job market, and so on. And so people might feel like they have to settle, but is your point of view that regardless of the situation or current situation of the world, that you don't have to settle, that you can still get that job that you want?
Yeah, it's a great question. I would say that really, what is settling, right? Like, when you think about settling, I guess what we think about is taking a role that, you know, is less, is paying less than what you want, or taking a title that you don't really love, or maybe settling is even going to work for a company where you're just like, your gut is like, oh, I don't know, or I did this kind of work a long time ago. So if that's settling, I think the way that we can overcome that, and what I teach, is there's a way to know what is possible. And here's how we do it. So when you think about like what you want, right, you're going to have these goals. It's really important to know a couple of things, right? What are your goals? What are your needs? And then what does the market have? What does the market want? And what does the market need? And this is how we can determine, right, if our needs are such, for example, that you have to get back to work right away, right? And you go out into the market and you don't see what you need. You don't see what you're looking for. Or you don't see a role that is available, or many roles that are available for your aspirational goal. Then you have to decide, right? Do I need to take a role to stabilize myself, right? And so it's about what is settling. And the way that we can kind of get some clarity around that is to understand the goals, which are, you know, on a level up, better culture, all of the things, make more money. But then there are the true needs that people have. And if those needs are a faster search, or, you know, I just have to get back to work, I wouldn't even call that settling. I would call that stabilizing yourself so that you can go after what is the next thing, or the more aspirational goal. And the way that we do that is by understanding what the opportunities are in the market and using that data to inform sort of where you head next. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay. So then, would you say that, do you view not settling from a
like, I don't know if holistic is the right word, but I'm thinking a person might think not settling means I'm going to get my dream job for the perfect salary, perfect situation where like everything is perfect. Is that not settling to you? Or do people still need to recognize that it's not going to be perfect, but that doesn't mean that you're settling? Like which one of those do you think is better?
Yeah. I think you have to kind of start with actually your needs, right? Like what okay. are your needs? If your needs aren't getting met, your core needs, what do you need to support your family? You know, what is the compensation you must have? If your needs aren't getting met, then I would say that would feel like that is settling. But if we reframe it around, yes, of course you want to be in the C-suite or you want to level up, that might not be possible today, but it could be tomorrow, just given kind of what the market is doing. But can you get your needs met? And that's why I'm talking about these things. And yes, I do think it's holistic. I mean, if you imagine taking out a notepad and saying, what are my absolute truest needs? Put those down. And then put down, what are my goals? Like, what do I deserve? What do I want? What lights me up? It's really about trying to figure out where you need to head next. That will kind of determine your job search strategy. But this idea of settling, it's sort of like, well, I may be settling on my longer term goal right now, but I'm also, you know, stabilizing my family and my life and getting back to work, right? Right now, right? So
yeah,
kind of figure those things out. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. So it sounds like it's not always the job that you get. It's maybe like the way that you view that job. So like maybe there's an ideal scenario and you don't get that ideal scenario, but you don't have to perceive that as settling, because you can also just say, this isn't the job I'm going to have forever. It's just the one that I need right now until I can, and then, you know, I'm going to get other jobs and I will keep working towards that ideal scenario.
Yeah, I definitely think it can be a mindset reframe around what is settling. And boy, there's so much that we could talk about around that. You know, why mm-hmm. is, you know, why are you here? Why are you doing this? What are you, you know, yeah, it could be an intentional search. It could be like, and that wouldn't even be settling. Like an intentional search is a longer search where you take more time. You have more time. You can do that. Mm-hmm. You are privileged in the way that you are currently working and you can do that. And then there's just the need-based search. You know, this has got to happen. I need this to happen. And so that's how you can reframe kind of this idea of settling and staying open to the possibilities, right? Sometimes people come into their job search thinking they know, right? Like thinking they know exactly what the next role looks like. But this idea of exploring what's possible can open a lot of doors and opportunities that you wouldn't have otherwise, you know, been aware of. So, yeah.
Okay. So then what would settling, or whenever you're working with a client or something, how do you define settling? Like, what's the thing that you try to get people to avoid, or I guess not have to do?
Yeah. What I want for everyone that goes into the market or goes into a job search is I want them to achieve their value, right? And so I guess that's, you know, when we think about settling, it's like, you know, is this what I deserve, right? Is this the role that I deserve? And there's a way to go about knowing that and getting that information from the market that will allow a job seeker to actually settle into that knowing, that understanding, right? So like, let me give you an example. So if you go out to market and you're a director and you're like, I don't know, I want to move to the next level, Okay. And and I deserve it and I should have it. Well, guess what? We need to figure out what the market thinks of that and what the market believes about you, right? And so what I would do is suggest that you go out into the market and you look at those VP level roles and you identify the outcomes that the companies are looking for this role to achieve. They're the outcomes and then other responsibilities that you have to, you know, you have to do. Okay. And that's how you kind of reverse engineer the frame up. And what actually happens a lot of the time is directors are doing VP level jobs, you know, like a lot of people are doing the next level role already, no matter what level it is, right? When you go out into the market and you start to gather the data, you know, say you use the spreadsheet and you're kind of ranking and sorting the roles that you like and the ones that you fit for. When you find the ones that you fit for, look at what those outcomes are that they want you to drive. And what will happen is you'll say, oh, I did that. Oh, I do that. Mm-hmm. Or I don't do that. And you start to develop over, you know, the getting like several of these job descriptions in there, you start to see like, oh, maybe that's not this next role. Maybe it's the next role. Or I'm absolutely qualified for this role. I don't have to settle. I see it in the market right now. So something else needs to happen in your job search, right, to help you achieve that.
Like, okay,
there's what people think they're what they believe, you know, about themselves. But if the market can't see it, and if the positioning isn't right, then it doesn't matter what you think, because ultimately the job search isn't about you; it's about the perception of you and what you can do for a company.
Okay, so then, to know whether or not you're settling, you have to know what your value is. You know, you have to have like a baseline to know, is a job above that baseline or below that baseline that would be settling. And then in order to know your value, you have to do research and kind of not look at, okay, and that's what you were just saying, is not look at yourself from the way that you perceive yourself, but by the way the market perceives yourself. So like, looking at your responsibilities and seeing, does the market say I'm a manager or does the market say I'm a director? Because then my value is higher. If I take anything less than that, I would be settling. That's the research phase of it.
Yeah, that's the research phase of it. And this is a piece that so many people skip. And here's how we do research. I mean, if I can make an assumption, or well, this is what I see. Is, you know, you set up your job alerts, you kind of watch them come through, or you have your resume redone and you just start to apply, right? And you don't get any traction. So that's a signal. Like, no signal is definitely a signal. And then passively kind of looking at like different job leads that are coming in and clicking easy apply, that's pretty passive, right? So what I suggest is actually pulling out a spreadsheet and putting in the roles, actually looking at what these things are titled, thinking about what you think your next title is and any kind of ancillary titles. An example would be like, if we just took customer success, right? There's a lot of different components of customer success. Like, what kind of customer success person are you, right? Like, are you a CX, you know, are you a customer experience person, or are you the kind of like person that's driving growth and renewals, right? So what are these titles that you think you want related to what you, what your goal is or what you've done, depending on your strategy? And then pull in like 10 to 15 job descriptions. It is the most grueling, tedious process to look at job descriptions. It's, you know, but what you start to see and what you start to identify are these like outcomes for certain titles that they want the candidate to drive, and some key responsibilities or requirements that you must have. And that is going to give you so much information, because you're going to see why you're not getting traction. You're going to see well, hopefully, you know, you're going to be able to position yourself, right? And see like the language that they're using in that job description. If they say they want someone to strategically drive growth by doing XYZ, well, then you're going to need to tell them how you strategically did that in your last role or previous role.
Okay. Is that, so positioning, is it all just about like the language on your resume, or are there other parts of positioning?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot that goes into positioning. I wouldn't say that it's about using the same language. I think it's about recognizing the themes that you see in certain roles, and then creating irrefutable alignment to those particular roles. So what we need to do is make sure that the market sees you for the value and outcomes you're going to drive versus, you know, what you think, like what's happening, you know, what you think your resume says, what you think your positioning says. We need to make sure it is just in strong alignment to the way that the company is framing up the outcomes. So it's not the exact same language, but it's kind of the concepts and the themes, and really knowing what it is a company wants this candidate to achieve for them and demonstrating that.
Okay. I love that phrase, irrefutable alignment. Basically making it so obvious that you are the right fit for that. And it sounds, it seems to me like in order to be able to get to that point where it is irrefutable alignment, there might be a lot of jobs that you end up not applying for, even if the job title is the same, maybe what they're looking for, the job title might be the same, but what they're looking for is different company to company.
Yeah, that's why the themes really, really help, right? Because you're going to see some nuances in the titles, and you're going to see some titles that you can just throw out that are non-starters, because you're going to identify like certain themes in some of those titles. And titling is really, you know, messy, right? as you know, because you live in this space. And so titling can mean different things to different companies. So one thing that I suggest is, like, for example, not leveling yourself in the title. And what I mean by that is, if you call yourself a director, that might not align to kind of the organizational structure at a company. And so what's going to happen is that the recruiter is going to look at, you know, this headline on your resume that's going to say director of XYZ. And they're going to be like, oh, no, like, oh, you know, we really wanted someone that was either not at the director level or was at the VP level, right? It like silos you into a level. So better would be to position yourself around what these themes are, which is they're looking for a leader or a senior leader or an executive leader in digital marketing, right? So there are ways to position yourself where, when I talk about irrefutable alignment, thanks for calling that out. You know, what that means to me is we want to give the recruiter the opportunity to push you forward. I mean, that's what you all are doing at your company, right? Like trying to clarify what is on that resume such that it tells a story that a recruiter can just basically take and forward along in a meaningful way, to say they don't have to think about, does this person align? And do I have to drag all the way down to the second page of the resume to find the one thing they did that aligns to this role that I'm hiring for? That needs to be at the top. That needs to be something they can easily copy and paste and send to their, you know, decision makers. And so that's what I mean when I say that. And you're going to find it, people are going to find it in the way that these outcomes are talked about in the job descriptions. And it's not in the requirements of the role. It's in the summary of the role.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one thing I say to job seekers is like, So like JobScan, the tool will show you the list of skills that are mentioned throughout the job description. But it's not just about taking that list of skills and putting them on your resume in like a skills list or something. That really just informs the experience you talk about. Like whenever you're doing your work experience, talk about a project where you demonstrated that skill or some sort of achievement or measurable results that required that skill. Like it's more just, it's a guide for how you talk about your experience to show how it's relevant and aligned with what the company is looking for. Like you were talking about with the themes, the things that they're looking for. Now, one thing about job descriptions, I always hear people say like job descriptions are useless because they just get them from some website. This isn't actually the company's words, that kind of thing. Do you find in your work, whenever you're working with job seekers, that that is true, that they don't get results even when they align to the job description? Or are you like, no, that's rubbish. Align yourself to the job description. It's what they want.
Okay. Big question, because job descriptions are a hot mess. And, you know, the way they're created and who's creating them and who's the stakeholder, who's buying in, did they pull them from another, you know, yeah, it's a mess, right? That's why I say don't worry about the whole kitchen sink that they've put in. Worry about that top part of the job description that is the piece about, you know, in the summary, there's going to be like one or two lines that's going to be the reason why they're hiring this person, like what they want them to accomplish.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Right. And it's going to be like, we're looking for, you know, someone who can drive transformation and move us to digital, whatever, for this many users. And like when you see that, you're like, oh, like I've done that. Right. So that's when you get multiple, themes like this, drive transformation, you know, and you're like, oh yes, I want to do the strategy and I've done the strategy, and that's what you use. That's what you leverage. So I would say, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Like get what you can out of a job description, but don't also line item it to death such that you're like finding ways to exclude yourself or, you know, disqualify yeah. yourself, right? But there are going to be non-starters. There is going to be something that says you need to have Sarbanes-Oxley, you know, experience or M&A experience or something like that. And you're like, I don't. But even still, do you have sort of like working knowledge of it? Have you been exposed to it? Like, you know, so that's why I talk about the outcomes that you want to align to versus you know, each of these line items in a job description.
Yeah, that makes so much sense, because I imagine they're hiring for a role and they know what they want that role to achieve, but they are not that role. So they might not know exactly how that role should achieve it. Like they know they want more traffic to their website, and they've heard that means we need white papers and ebooks. But you might know like, well, actually the best way is to do X, Y, and Z. So like the list of requirements or like day-to-day tasks and stuff, like that might not be exactly what you would do in that role, but you know the outcome they want and you know you can achieve that outcome and you have the skills to achieve that outcome. So that's what you focus on. Like that's your positioning.
Yeah. Yeah. So much to talk about here. That's so insightful. Because again, if you think about the themes, you're going to notice that the roles that you want at a certain level have very similar themes. And by addressing those and putting the outcomes kind of at the top of your resume, you're going to create that alignment. But I also want to speak to something that you said. They don't know. They actually don't know what. So if an HR generalist is putting that together and they're doing their best to understand that space, right? What they do know is what their hiring decision maker told them they want this person to achieve. What they don't know, to your point, is the how to get there. So there's a really great influencer who talks about breaking through and networking. And the way he speaks about it is about solving the problem before you even meet them, solving the problem they're trying to solve for, and saying like, you know, like, this is what, you know, I see what you're like, I love what you're looking for. I love what you're doing, you know, and making a suggestion about how to solve that problem, where it's like, oh yeah, they know the how to, like they've done this before. So that's one way to do it. But the other thing that's really interesting is, and I want to bring up for anyone who's like thinking about, you know, going through this process, is that, you need to remember that actually sometimes companies don't know who they need until they meet you. Oh, right. Yeah. So they're putting a lot of things on paper. They're casting a wide net. They're hoping to attract, you know, the problem solver or the leader or the person that can do this thing for them. But you know, what can happen is that goalpost can change based on meeting the right person. So when you're thinking about disqualifying yourself for a role that's a higher level, or the title is intimidating, or, you know, something like that, and you're like, this is about the stories we tell ourselves and the settling. Keep in mind that if you feel like you can solve this, the only thing standing between you and that offer is the way that you position yourself to demonstrate it. And that is the irrefutable alignment that I'm talking about. That sounds complicated, because it's not. It's sort of like, in your mind, you know you can do it. On paper, they're asking for someone to drive this outcome. In between that is the alignment that you need an expert to help you achieve.
Yeah.
Right.
I think that makes total sense. You know, like one thing, like, so in JobScan, we give you like a match rate. And then as you improve your resume, your match rate goes up. Yeah. And sometimes I think people overthink it, because they're like, I can't get to 100%, or I can't get to like an 80% match rate. And it's like, well, don't overthink it. Like you were saying, sometimes there are ways that you can position yourself that's more just aligning yourself with the outcome that they want. It's not necessarily like always using the same language, but also like I've heard of people having success after getting a match rate to like 55 or 60%. So like kind of what you're saying of just like, show them that you can achieve that outcome, show them the relevant experience. And that's really the goal of any sort of like tailoring or optimization. I have one more question. You know, we talk a lot about this is what you should do, but sometimes it's also helpful to hear, like, make sure you don't do this. So like, what are some common mistakes that you see people make in regards to this, of positioning themselves, settling, so on?
I think not really holistically looking at the market and sitting with it and like getting that spreadsheet out and putting in the roles and ranking and scoring them. Do I like this? Do I fit for it? Do I like this? Do I fit for it? And of course, there are going to be wild cards, and there are going to be some that you should just go for, even if you don't have that one requirement, you know. But again, when you can create that irrefutable alignment, you're going to save yourself a lot of time, so that you're not wasting time applying to non-starters, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point. Like, if your goal is not just to apply for a job, but if your goal is to create irrefutable alignment within your resume and your positioning, then it will save you time from applying for jobs that you're not a good match for, or that you wouldn't want to begin with. And that's time saved. Like, there's no point in applying for those jobs anyway, so it's better to save that time.
Yeah, and energy. So, you know, protecting your energy in the search, and you mentioned overwhelm, is really, really important too, because it can be so discouraging if you're putting all this effort in, you know, 4 hours a day, and you're applying to hundreds of jobs. And we hear these stories all the time. I mean, I know you do too, where I applied to 1,500 jobs and I didn't hear back or whatever the thing is. And that's because the prep work wasn't done. right? The strategy wasn't there. Like the knowledge of like what's happening right now in the market. And that, again, that goalpost can move because the market is fluid. And it's actually picking up quite nicely right now. But the prep work is something that most people really don't know how, right? It's not like they mean to skip it. They just go to a resume writer or they come to JobScan and they're like, okay, like, you know, like let's make my resume look like this job. But what we mm-hmm. need your resume to do is look like aligned to a type of job, right? In the market. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting. Okay. Well, Tracy, this has been so helpful. I know I learned a lot about doing the research, like finding, not just thinking of myself as what I do or what I'm qualified for, but comparing myself to the market to see what is my real value. So yeah, and the irrefutable alignment, I love that as the mindset for positioning and all of this. This has been so helpful. Please share with those listening where they can find you and how they can get more advice from you.
Oh yeah, sure. So you can find me at bossmaker.com. That's bossmake, H-E-R. We work with women leaders to help them explore what's possible, make intentional moves and just not settle for less as they're, you know, looking for a new role. And so, yeah, that's where you can find us. We offer a complimentary consultation if you're interested. And I don't know if I just said this, but it's primarily for women leaders at the director level and above.
Okay, awesome. Thank you, Tracy, for your time. This was great.
All right. Thank you.